This Tuesday, in case you do not know, is the 4th of July. It's the date when the signing of the Declaration of Independence took place, as the American Revolution was obviously still in progress. Now, while that one day created a foundation, which became the United States of America, the facts about all that happened before and after that day have fallen prey to politics and, well, even worse, political correctness. My next guest, along with his co-author, set out to eject the myths, purge the politics in this era of American history, and do it its rightful and overdue and deserving justice. The result of their work is the new book, The Politically Incorrect Guide to the American Revolution, co-authored by Larry Schweikert and my guest historian, Dave Dougherty. Thanks for being here today, Dave.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And this really is a book that if you are, well, maybe not exactly a fan of history, you will become much more interested in the facts about history because, well, Dave, unfortunately, maybe someone is not a fan or appreciative of history because they're being taught the history with falsehoods and, as I said in the introduction, politics instead of facts.
Oh, yes. Unfortunately, our kids today are not taught about a lot of things, and Common Core is making it worse, so we have a real problem. But this book is very easy to read. I recommend it for, really, kids, say, 8, 9 years and up, and of course, all adults, but it corrects a lot of things. I mean, the politically correct history of the Revolution right now is that it was done by a bunch of very rich white guys who weren't making enough money because they were part of the British Empire. So if they became independent, then they could run the show themselves and make a lot of money. That is so much bunk. In 1774, the First Continental Congress, of course, which was an illegal organization, came up with the Articles of Association. And what they were treasonable documents. They were like mini declarations of independence. And these were signed in the towns and the cities and the countryside, counties, et cetera, by people like you and me. Tens upon tens of thousands of patriots signed their name saying that King George was a tyrant and that we needed to be independent, et cetera, et cetera. And if you didn't sign the association, then things got a little worse for you, and people didn't help you. They shunned you. You ended up moving into the Tory enclaves. But it was those Articles of Association signed by people, ordinary people, that saw us through 8 long years of war. Because if those guys, those signers were captured, their lives were forfeit. Real simple.
As simple as that. And you mentioned, too, about how the impression is that the American Revolution was a get-rich-quick scheme by the white slave owners, but if you look at the economics of the time, at 1770, if I recall correctly, the standard of living was at a higher level than some European and Asian countries in 1990.
Anywhere else in the world.
Yeah.
We had the highest standard of living in the world, and you know what? We've been on the highest standard of living ever since, but that's because of the four principles, four pillars, if you will, of American exceptionalism, which we had then and we sort of have now, but all four of them are under assault by the progressives. And that's your Protestant Christianity for your basic culture, your common law, which allows common people like us to own property with deeds, which is very rare in the world today. And, of course, free market capitalism and the sanctity of private property. So those four things made us great then, and they're all four under assault. Agenda 21 wants to eliminate private property. Obviously, the progressives want to eliminate Christianity of all forms. They're trying to eliminate capitalism. And if you took a poll of most lawyers right now in the United States, they'd say we need to go to civil law like the rest of the world.
The claim is, the myth is, the myth that's perpetrated is that religion and faith played nothing in the formation of the country and the Declaration of Independence, which my response is, I mean, never mind. I won't even ask someone who says that to go to the biographies of the signers. Just if you read the Declaration of Independence, just that one document, how can you say that faith did not play a role?
Well, you're dead right. But it's even more than that. We had fracture lines for the Revolutionary War that broke on religion, and you had pastors that just thundered from the pulpit about how King George was evil and a tyrant and we needed to break away. I mean, religion played a huge role. I mean, the pastors led. The one thing that was wrong about the Patriot, that movie, it had the pastor joining his flock. Well, if to be true, the pastor would have led his flock right out. Peter Muhlenberg, who was a Lutheran pastor, he held his last church service, and then he took off his frock or his gown up on the front of the church, and he had a militia colonel's uniform on underneath it, and he walked out of the church and led his men forward.
We are talking with Dave Dougherty, historian, co-author with Larry Schweikert of The Politically Incorrect Guide to the American Revolution, available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, your favorite means of buying a book. If you're one of those oddballs, I still go to an actual bookstore. If you can find one, that's available there as well, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. And along with, even for the aficionados such as myself, you do get a reminder and a surprise, for example, how John Adams took up the defense of the Redcoats following the Boston Massacre, which you bring to a more clear light as well. And also the idea of how, we'll talk about Canada and the Revolutionary War, because that's got to be the one of those double takes when you're reading. It's like, oh, you come across that part of your book, and it's like, I never heard about this when I was back in school.
Arnold's expedition, Benedict Arnold, of course, later turned traitor, his expedition to Quebec was one of the finest annals in our military history. Even though we were unable to take Quebec, the fact that the men were able to march in the dead of winter through northern Maine, and they got to the point that it was every man for themselves to try to get to Quebec. And they did it, and then they attacked Quebec, believe it or not. By the way, I say that with a lot of pride because my three-great-grandfather was one of those soldiers who went to Quebec. In fact, he enlisted in June of 1775, and he went home after the war was over in 1783. 8 long years. The only time he had been home was for 3 weeks in 8 years.
Through your research, through your studies, and what you present in the Politically Incorrect Guide to the American Revolution, how bad did it get for the Americans that we have not been yet to understand?
Real bad, particularly in the South. You had guys like Bloody Bill Cunningham, who said that he made 1,600 widows from Patriots. It was very brutal, and even Cornwallis assigned men to go out and find Patriots and kill them, burn their houses and whatnot, and turn their families out. It got very, very tough. It also got tough against the Tories, but particularly in the South, it was no holds barred. You had guys that took advantage of the war to rape, rob, and pillage. Just that simple.
Could it all have worked out as it did if George Washington was not the leader of the army?
Oh, no. You had to have George Washington. For all of his faults or whatever, if you hadn't had him as a figurehead who was solid and went all the way through it, no, we didn't have anybody else of his stature that we could get behind. Now, yeah, he didn't win very many battles. In fact, he lost almost all of them. But he saw it through. And the other guy said, well, you know, if he's there, we got to stay with him. And it worked. But as a general, he wasn't all that great a general. But he certainly was as an inspiration to everyone else.
It's the difference between being a boss and being a leader.
That's it. That is it. Absolutely.
And even to the point where he wanted to be addressed respectfully for the position he was in, not necessarily for himself, even in letters. If you didn't address him properly with a proper title, you weren't even there talking to him.
That's correct. He held out that, by golly, the British had to respect him and had to respect his titles. And as you pointed out, he turned back the letters from General Howe that were not addressed properly to him. And he stood on that, and that was important because the colonists said, see, we have to be respected. The Patriots said, we have to be respected, and they did. You know, we don't get that today. Conservatives today don't get respect.
That's what we're seeing that these days, too, with the Twitter battles going on for a variety of reasons. Yeah. You know, people would look at the American Revolution and say, okay, there's a blueprint. If we want to do this and fill in the blank here for a nation and country or whatever, this is how it's done. The reality is this was a one of a kind, one time opportunity, and everything got right. And maybe, as you said, maybe the crux of it was there are no other Washingtons any point in our history.
There were no other Washingtons. There were no other, you know, the pillars of American exceptionalism that essentially separate us from all other countries in the world. No other country has those four pillars of common law, Protestant Christianity, the sanctity of private property, and free market capitalism, not all together. And so we've tried to export American democracy, but it does not work because they do not have the cultural institutions to make it work.
Last question before I wrap up. With your book, The Politically Incorrect Guide to the American Revolution, what one person and what one battle which have been most deepest in the shadows do you think you've accomplished and brought out to a greater point of attention?
Well, probably the Canadian campaign, the attack on Quebec. I mean, that's just been expunged from our history.
And it's all in detail, too, in the Politically Incorrect Guide to the American Revolution, co-authored by Larry Schweiker, and my guest today, historian Dave Dougherty. And, Dave, you are restoring history through the facts and through the actions of heroes who have gone before us. And on this 4th of July holiday, it's time to remember, time to respect, and once again learn from them. And you're helping us all do that. Thanks for the job.
Thank you.